Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
It is time for, this time, Wednesdays with Neil. Right? There's only one thing better than a Tuesday with Neil. It's Wednesday. My friend, welcome.
As always, it's great to be here. I just figured we could run the segment right up against the emergency broadcast test and then interject some Steelers fans' thoughts on the game last week and have it beep out naturally, because that's probably what would happen.
Yeah, that probably is going to be. It's funny because Jack Ham and I were talking on the plane on the way back from Chicago, and he said, "What do you think about the Steeler game tomorrow with Houston?" I said, not only, I said, will Houston win? I said, I think Houston will win by a margin. And he said, looks at me, he says, really? I said, yeah. So there's something wrong with this Pittsburgh team. And Neil, here's the point, right? Here's the question. You've watched it. What's the list of what's wrong with the Steelers team? And it's a list.
What's been interesting to me is the amount of conversation around trying to put it at one spot when it's painfully obvious that it really is everything. And I know that that's a glib answer, but the reality is...
But it's a correct answer. But it's the right answer. Sometimes it is the answer.
You can't dispute it. That's the biggest thing for me. I mean, I guess number one for me is it's no different than it was this time last year. It's the same thing. I can't get over that part.
Yep.
The second thing is, you can go down the list. You had an offseason to help rebuild this offense. You felt that you did that. You made a trade for kind of marquee player, at the very least a player that you're going to pay well above market to play slot receiver for you. You had a full offseason and another training camp with an embedded starting quarterback. You had all the film from last year to go off of. You've got some continuity on the offensive line, short of adding a player who's a Pro Bowl level player and has been. You selected a left tackle in the draft that may or may not have been able to start immediately, but you've got an answer possibly in year one for that. You got better at your tight end position. You should be better at your running back position just through experience. Yet all those things failed.
Yeah.
That's on your coaching staff. That's on your coordination. That's on your general direction. But at the same time, Matt Canada is not telling Kenny Pickett to run into pressure. He's not telling him to create sacks on his own. He's not telling him to miss receivers by 2 feet and never give any kind of space for a receiver to move after the catch. He's not telling the tight ends to kind of disappear. They haven't really done anything. There are several problems, and to act as if the game is played with a gaming device and Matt Canada has a controller in his hand and is moving everybody around at his whim and can't play the game at all, and that's the problem, is ridiculous. Players on the field are not getting anything done. You know, we can't even get to the point where play calling, in my opinion at least, play calling can be an issue. If they can't execute 22 dive, I don't know what you want them to do. You know,
right.
If you've got, I mentioned this on social media, but if you have 100 plays, your offense can only execute them consistently. What difference does it make who's calling the 12th play?
Right.
Does it really matter? You can't do most of the stuff that you've set out to do. Now, that is, Matt Canada is accountable for that, but so are the players. Something needs to give here. He doesn't have, you know, nobody has a magic playbook of stuff that's just going to instantly work. They have to find out what they can do consistently and apply it to what another team isn't going to expect or not going to be able to prevent themselves. And they haven't been able to do that. I mean, really, in my mind, they're playing like an 0-4 team. They probably should be 1-3, and they're extremely lucky to be 2-2.
So let's get to Matt Canada for a moment. And I'm not here to defend Matt Canada, not in the least. I mean, look, he was the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin, I did the game. Offensive coordinator in Indiana, did the game. Interim head coach of Maryland did the game. Offensive coordinator Pitt did the game. At LSU did the game. I mean, so I've seen the Mac Canada thing all over the place. Okay, but why is it that the fans don't blame the personnel and it's directed at him all the time?
He's a singular entity. It's easier to like the players, the ones who are out there, you know, putting in the work and everything like that. It's funny to me because there's a direct correlation between the salary as well as the perceived value of the player and the flack that he gets. Ben went above and beyond that, so Ben was never to blame for anything. In fact, you might recall, I'm sure we discussed this many times a few years ago when it was Randy Fickner's problem.
Sure.
And fans wanted Canada to run the offense.
Right.
At some point here, you kind of need to recognize this is a symbiote relationship. The offensive coordinator cannot create talent. They just can't. You can scheme. You can do things to keep an opponent off balance and have success with that. That's the stuff Matt Canada doesn't seem to do very well. But it cuts off at that point. You're looking at what they are doing, why it isn't working. There is poor execution across the board. It's everywhere. You can't blame any one singular player because every single one of them is doing it at some point or another. And the bottom line is, when you are, for now, really the third year in a row, most often with the lesser of the two quarterbacks on the field, you're not going to win very much. And that's where the Steelers are. They have failed to make Kenny Pickett better in year two. In fact, I'd argue he's worse.
Yeah.
He's not providing any sense of confidence to those around him. I don't think he knows what he's doing. You don't see quarterbacks at the NFL level have absolutely no pocket awareness the way that Pickett does. Yeah. And the big controversial play, the fourth and one that they called and schemed like it was fourth and five. I honestly feel like there was some type of communication mistake, and Canada called a play for fourth and five. He didn't think it was fourth and one. That play didn't make any sense, and anyone looking at it can see it, but that's not Canada is stupid kind of thing. That's like something happened here.
Right.
But at the same time, watch every player reacting on that play. They're all doing something different. Something else happened. There's a guy dropping to seven on his drop out of the snap on the offensive line. Broderick Jones obviously didn't. He was up short. Pickett ran into the line for really no reason at all, had to spin out of what he was doing. All the receivers were at like 7 to 8 yard depth. A staple of this offense has always been the check down receiver, but they didn't even have one of those on fourth and one. Something got mixed up, and it's gone far enough where you have to say Matt Canada is ultimately responsible for that. Whether they would get rid of him during the season, I don't know. They've never done that under Mike Tomlin. There's ample evidence to suggest that that's something they have to be considering by this point, especially with the bye coming up after this weekend. But there's absolutely no chance he's coming back next year. We know that. That's factual as the day is long. So what are they going to be able to do in the meantime, or is this something that everybody kind of knows already and they're divided because of it? That's more of my concern because the product is so sloppy. It has been in four games this season that it looks way worse than it did last year when they were among the worst offenses in the game like they are now.
Well, there's another element to it as well, and it's something that's rarely talked about. You have to play offense to your defense, and you have to play defense to your offense. So, in other words, if you have a dynamic offense, you can take exponentially more chances defensively because guess what? My offense can get it back. But if my offense can't get it back, I've got to be a little more conservative on defense. T.J. Watt is not a good player. He is a great player. I mean, top-shelf great player. How is this defense playing right now? Because there's actually so much pressure on them not to give up anything because the offense can't produce.
That's really it. In a nutshell, that's your problem defensively. And I thought, you've heard me extend accolades toward DeMeco Ryans for 2 years now.
He's
legitimately a football genius.
Yes,
he knows what he's doing, and he has a great group building in Houston already. They're going to be a contender sooner than people think. And while I don't think that C.J. Stroud was perfect in that game, you can see how close he is to being really, really good because he made some great throws, made some great reads. He's good. Their game plan was perfect. And it's probably best highlighted by looking at what they did to T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. They were dropping their guards back to cut both of them off after they would go wide. So, you know, an in-play read that the lineman had, the guard would come back to cut him off. It's almost like they were setting up an obstacle course for both of them as opposed to trying to block them. They were really just trying to get in their way. And that slowed them down enough to be able to get rid of the ball. And Houston didn't need to go deep. All they did was attack a butter-soft middle of a defense, which is what the Steelers are right now. Right. The absence of Cam Hayward is... It's almost embarrassingly noticeable how little run the Steelers are getting out of their A-gap players, out of their linebackers versus the run and in the quick game. They're not getting anything production-wise. And Ryan saw that. Their offensive coordinator saw that and put it all together to come up with a plan that made it look as easy as anything they'll ever do. And it was, you know. People are saying, well, the offense is so bad, the defense has to be on the field. The defense's job is to get off the field. It's not the offense's job. If they traded three and outs all game, they wouldn't be on the field all that much. But Houston ran 10, 11 play drives, resulting eventually in touchdowns after, you know, touchdowns that were overturned, things of that nature. It very much was a collective collapse against a team that talent-wise they should be better than, but coaching-wise they got the brakes beat off of them. That was as bad a one-sided coaching game as we'll see, because at the end of the day, while I'm really excited about what Houston's doing and what they're going to become, they're not incredibly talented player to player. This is year zero for them. They should not be able to hang 30 on the Steelers in a game like that. They shouldn't, but the Steelers were both sides of the ball were so completely far off from one another. It almost feels like there's some type of internal mutiny that we don't know about right now. The coaches are not getting the job done. They are not connected, and they're not playing like a team. And the results speak very much to that.
Yeah, I mean, no, and yet amazingly, they're 2-2. So now you've got the Ravens. Okay. Then the bye week. I mean, they can't lose the bye week, can they? But the Ravens are coming in. You know, you can talk rivalry and all you want. But physically, they don't match up, do they, Neil? This is not a good physical matchup.
This is the worst possible matchup for the Steelers in this game. A team that will be aggressive, regardless of personnel and coordinators, they will be aggressive. And you're looking at a rookie left tackle who I think we saw in one half of work, a very strong indication of why he wasn't starting. He's not there as a pass protector, to put it mildly. That's a concern. You can see on film the exact same way DeMeco Ryans did, where Kenny Pickett wants to go, whether or not there is pressure.
Right.
He has happy feet, he's bailing out of open pockets, and he's moving to one side and one side only. He literally ran into two sacks on plays that were designed floods to the left. He still went to the right. There's no reason why he should be doing that, except there's just all kinds of things going wrong. But if you're Baltimore, knowing that you can overload right tackle, Okorafor, who frankly isn't lighting the league on fire this season anyway, or Broderick Jones, who I don't think he's going to realize what's going on until after it's happened, and get pressure on a quarterback that you don't even need to pressure for him to establish pressure, you really should feel confident in a defensive game plan that should allow seven or fewer points. I think that's what we're looking at right now. Now, you mentioned the big word, rivalry. Both teams tend to play this very much to not give the other team opportunities. This is kind of like at the height of the Red Sox Yankees hysteria, and how every single game they ever played was on TV, to a point where every batter took 35 seconds in between pitches, and the game lasted 5 hours.
Brutal.
That's kind of how Tomlin and Harbaugh tended to go after each other in these games. They don't want to put up big plays. If they can control the ball, eventually they're confident enough in their defenses to make a big play to flip the field one way or another and put points on the board in a low-scoring game. I don't think Harbaugh needs to do that in this game. In fact, knowing Harbaugh, I think he really wants to set Lamar Jackson loose. He wants to establish his player as the MVP. Harbaugh's into that kind of thing. Wouldn't surprise me if they really want to, you know, get aggressive early, because there's no way Pittsburgh's offense is going to score against this team. They're not. They're a complete mess right now, and Harbaugh knows that. He has an excellent defensive team. This could be bad. And to be honest, I'm not making predictions or anything, but if they go out and score, you know, 10 points, seven of which in garbage time, I don't know how you justify keeping your offensive coordinator on staff. I really don't. I know that's crazy, but there's just an enormous amount of pressure. I mean, you started the segment saying it perfectly. There's just something that's not right about this team. And there comes a point that you're going to have to make some type of move. And that's if, you know, Tomlin is not saying, I'm doing this my way. If anybody's going to be fired, it's going to be me, and that's on you. If you want to do that, go ahead. They're obviously not going to do that, but something's going to have to change, and not, the vague, generalized, point that Tomlin made at the end of the press conference when the PR manager was trying to get him out of there. It's going to need to be something specific if it happens again. And where I'm sitting right now, I don't see how Baltimore doesn't win this game by two scores. I really don't.
Maybe a shorter answer here, but what do you think of Tomlin? I mean, you know, Mike's done a lot of great things in his career, so please. But I'm talking about present moment. What do you think?
I think Mike Tomlin is a phenomenal football coach. I think he's one of the best in his era to do it.
Yep.
I think players believe in him. And I also think that there's a reason why the saying, all things come to an end, exists. You put it this way, if you look at an AFC team that probably made a mistake with their first-round quarterback, that needs a defense to win games now, and when their defense isn't on par, they'll get killed. The first person you should be thinking of is Mike Tomlin, right? Bill Belichick is the one I'm talking about.
Right.
Everyone has no problem accepting that Bill Belichick is probably in his last year. Nobody has a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Yet, people are on the fence about Mike Tomlin. I really don't understand why. What have we seen from this team over the last couple seasons to make you think this is moving forward? Right. It's just simply not. So, I think he's a great coach, and I think coaches can kind of come to an end with what they have for that team at that moment. I don't think this really tarnishes his legacy. How many coaches have coached one team for 17 years with a high level of success? Very, very few. He's done a phenomenal job. I just think that the direction he's wanted to take the team isn't working. And I would have given him the benefit of the doubt, but now it's like, you know what? You got to rebuild again. I don't care what you say. You don't have a quarterback. And this is going to continue to be a problem if you insist that it is, if you insist that you can win the game running the ball and your defense can take care of everything. Because now you just got a year older on your defense. It looks even worse than it has, and your offense isn't going anywhere. So, it wouldn't surprise me if he were to come back, though. I'm willing to bet there's going to be a lot of new coaches on that team, and I don't necessarily think ones that that he wanted to hire.
Yeah. My friend, normally Tuesdays are great. You just made Wednesday better. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.